It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. De Bruyne has done his groiner, means we need to talk about Kevin. And what about Spurs' seven? What the Bayern debacle means for Tottenham assets. All that and more coming up as we count down to Game Week 8. Hello there, Fantasy Manager. Thanks for joining us. And who's with us today? Well, Duncan Alexander's here, co-founder of Optijo and High Flying Fantasy Premier League Manager.
Hi, James.
And football journalist Tom Williams.
Hello, James.
Hi, Tom. And also here from the FPL family and from the higher reaches of fantasy management right now is Sam Bonfield. Sam, what a brilliant season you're having.
Hiya, James. Yeah, it's going quite well so far.
All right, a modest little giggle there, but you are currently 7,326th in the world in almost 7 million managers. There's only just over 7,000 people doing better than you.
Yeah, let's see if I can keep it up, hey?
Crucially, not among that 7,000 or so managers is your husband, Lee Bonfield. He's way behind you. Lee, who's sometimes with us here on the podcast. How's he feeling about that?
Yeah, I don't think he's too happy about it.
Duncan, by the way, I mentioned you being high-flying. You're currently in the top 25,000 in the world.
Got to be pleased with that. Well, I don't have to be, but I am. I can confirm.
That's amazing. Oh, did I not mention Tom and myself? Never mind. We're out of time. Move on to the big news.
James,
from
I'm not having
game
you roping
seven.
Me in with you. I'm surging post-wildcard, flying up the standings. I'm topping four of my mini-leagues, albeit one of those is just me and my dad.
Who's in them? Yeah, that's my point.
But yeah, I'm feeling very confident. I'm 134,442nd.
All right.
Can't compete with these heavyweights,
I'm
moving in the right direction. Lots of green arrows.
Well, congratulations to you all, because it's not been easy of late, what with injuries, what with certain unexpected managerial decisions. And in game week seven, we saw more of both. I mean, more Pepness for a start from Man City. We felt certain that Sergio Aguero would definitely start at the weekend against Everton because he hadn't featured in the League Cup. What happens? He gets benched, and worse still, he then gets brought on at the end. So we don't even move on to our vice-captain if you had given him the armband. With also the other big news from Man City, with Kevin De Bruyne picking up this groin strain, nobody entirely sure when he's going to be back. Where does this leave us in terms of our approach to the champions?
It's difficult, I think, with Man City because Pep always likes to rotate, and particularly around the Champions League period, you always get some rotation. With KDB, it's hard because obviously we don't yet know how long-term that injury is going to be. And with international break coming up, I think I'm tempted to just bench him and just wait and see what
really
happens.
So leave all that money sitting on the bench?
I think so. For this one game week, yeah, I think it might be worth the risk.
Interesting.
I'm going to keep him in my starting 11 on the off chance that he comes in. He probably won't, but it would be really annoying if he unexpectedly played and played really well and he was sitting on your bench. Can you imagine how Monday morning would feel?
Well, I think also, if you think that De Bruyne is going to have a really good season and he's on course to do that, then selling him and then possibly having to rebuy him again is going to hamper you. So I think Sam's option of benching him. I mean, for me, the three City players I've had all season are Edison, who is unrotatable pretty much, Zinchenko, who's now looking a bit shaky with Mendy coming back, and De Bruyne. So I've got to make some decisions.
He's looked the most reliable of their midfield options, if not on form, although that's been pretty sensational, but certainly on his kind of rotation proofness. So it does seem a shame to lose him if you think you're going to have to get him straight back in again.
Exactly. And I think over the course of the season, if he carries on the way he is, he's on target to get 48 assists so far this season, which is like over double the previous record for assists in a Premier League season. So for me, I don't want to lose the value I've gained in him over the course of the first seven game weeks. So I'm just going to bench him.
OK. More big news for fantasy managers. The injury to Fabianski at West Ham. Fabianski, actually the top scoring goalkeeper so far this season. And if you own him, what do you do? Who do you bring in his place? If you've got West Ham defenders, how confident now are you about their prospects without Fabianski behind them? Because they didn't look too secure against Bournemouth last weekend after his injury.
No, and I think if I had any West Ham defenders, I would be a bit worried about that. In terms of options, Kasper Schmeichel is similarly priced, 5 million. Decent run of fixtures for Leicester coming up. They're away at Liverpool at the weekend, obviously not a great place to go. But then beyond that, next three, Burnley at home, Southampton away, Palace away. Leicester don't let many goals in. So that's one potential option in that sort of price bracket. Matt Ryan at Brighton as well, similar sort of ballpark in terms of price.
Right, OK.
Gaeta at Crystal Palace is also quite a good one. He's got three clean sheets in the last four at home.
He kept as many clean sheets last season as David De Gea as well.
Interesting. Duncan, who would be your pick be?
It's been a weird season for goalkeepers. You know, we've seen Alisson get injured early. There's been various injuries. We've seen Henderson last week let one in like that. I mean, no one's looking that consistent. So.
And you'll have seen Alisson on that subject wandering around Anfield midweek in the Champions League looking like he's ready to come back into the fray maybe after the international break. So that's something to keep in mind. One other thing before we move on to Game Week 8 fixtures and what we're expecting there is what to make of the midweek Champions League action. And in particular, the impact on Spurs and their FPL prospects of that 7-2 defeat at home to Bayern Munich on Tuesday. Sam, you're a big Harry Kane supporter. What are you thinking? Do you still feel like entrusting Harry with the armband, with the captain's armband, as you do pretty much every week?
Oh, thanks for bringing it up, James. I think, for me, yeah, I do. I fully expect to see Spurs bounce back. I think that defeat, if you look at the Spurs comments after the game, Pochettino's interview, the player interviews, they're all very, we need to move on. We need to make amends. I expect a real bounce against Brighton at the weekend. Kane is definitely up there as one of my major contenders for the captain's armband this week.
Right, you're doubling down on Kane then, are you?
Absolutely.
Okay, does everyone else feel the same way about Spurs?
Yeah, I mean, I've got Kane as well, and I sort of agree, really. I think if it's going to be a game where he punishes the gods for what's happened to Tottenham, then Brighton away, who have, you know, gone a long time without a home win, 8 games. So, yeah, I think I might have been triple captain him.
Oh, I love it.
Big talk. I've got no Spurs players, so I don't really care.
And you're happy about that, Tom, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I've structured my squad so that I don't really have all that much money in the forward areas, and as a consequence, I've got a bumper midfield. So no. I had Kane at the start of the season, don't have him now, but I just think, given all the problems at Spurs, I'm a bit wary about trusting them with anything at the moment.
Yeah, we've seen them turn the corner and then retrace their steps too many times so far this season, perhaps. If you want to join us on our FPL mini league, then the code you need is 6QP8QK. And if you'd like to send in a question, do it via Twitter with the hashtag FPLPod. We'll be looking at some of those inquiries later on. But next up, a quick check on the Game Week 8 fixtures. Game Week 8 kicks off with a lunchtime fixture at the Amex. It is Brighton taking on Spurs. Get your teams in by 11:30 UK time and feel confident about Spurs players' prospects, according to Duncan and Sam. Duncan, are you similarly confident about Leicester's chances away at Anfield, where, of course, Liverpool shipped 3 goals midweek against Red Bull Salzburg?
Yeah, so I think this season, Liverpool still look good going forward. The full-backs in particular are very good going forward, but they are leaving spaces as Salzburg exploited in midweek. So I think this fixture is quite good because you can probably profit from having some of the big-name Liverpool forwards and midfielders, but also probably profit if you've got Jamie Vardy as well, who has scored 31 goals against Big Six teams since he came to the Premier League and has got a particularly good record against Liverpool, actually. So I think you can probably juggle squads to benefit yourselves at both ends.
Jamie Vardy, a big threat against the bigger size. Pereira for Leicester, who's currently the top scoring defender, 6.1 million, looking like a real threat. Leicester, though, the last time they had one of these fixtures, when they went to Old Trafford, they really underwhelmed. What makes you think they're going to do better this time?
Yeah, that is the danger. I mean, I've got Chilwell. I've had him all season, so probably gambled on the wrong Leicester fullback there. But, you know, the underlying numbers, Leicester have got one of the best defences in the Premier League, but there's probably no bigger test than going away to Anfield. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But, if you've got Vardy, I'd be confident.
And when you talk about Liverpool's options up front, where have you put your money?
So I've got Salah and I've got Firmino. Okay. I brought Firmino in ahead of the Arsenal home game because he's got a great record against them. That didn't work out, but he's actually been pretty consistent generally this season. He's got more points than Mane.
Yeah, and he's not far behind Salah, considerably less. Salah at 12.5 million, Firmino only 9.6. The issue for me with Firmino, and this might sound a bit strange, is the fact that he's actually ranked as a forward, so not only did he get fewer points per goal, but he also occupies one of only 3 slots available up front. And there are so many candidates for the forward roles this season.
There are, but I think in previous seasons, we always like to have a premium striker. But this year, the midfield price brackets and the midfield options are so strong that actually it kind of makes sense to have a slightly cheaper forward option. Firmino, for me, has always been a bit of a streaky player. I've always had him in around Christmas. But this year, he feels very, very different. He feels like the sort of player you want in your fantasy team. all season, really.
Tom, you're looking at Man City's clash with Wolves.
Yes, obviously City at home, you can usually bank on them for a decent points haul, as Watford found to their cost a couple of weeks ago. The issue with City is rotation. Plenty of managers got stung last weekend when Guardiola benched Aguero, and you can never be entirely sure who he's going to pick. Raheem Sterling started on the bench in midweek in the Champions League, so I'm fairly confident he'll start. David Silva, Bernardo Silva and Riyad Mahrez, it's been hard to predict which of those will play. I think if De Bruyne misses out, as looks likely, the chances are that all three of those might start. But you can never pick any of those players with any sort of confidence because you never know what Guardiola's got up his sleeve.
At this point, is it worth just saving the money, spending it elsewhere and having at least a reliable starter?
I mean, as a fairly conservative FPL manager, I would generally go along with that. Because, I mean, if you strike it lucky and you pick the player who he starts and who, you know, has a fantastic game, then obviously you reap the rewards. But it's so frustrating when you allot money to a player who then ends up on the bench. So I'd be wary of those three.
Sam, where do you stand on buying big name players from Man City?
I'm always scared, to be honest. I fancied KDB at the start of the season and that's gone really well. All right, he missed one game week and it was a frustrating one, but then they did lose in that game. So I think, you know, Pep's hopefully learned his lesson a little bit. But I do feel very concerned about the two Silvers and Mahrez and owning them, because it is so much money to have sitting on the bench if they don't perform.
Although it's comparatively affordable, 7.6 million for David Silva, 7.9 for Bernardo Silva, Mahrez, who looked electric last week, 8.5. In terms of Wolves, Tom, they're coming off their first victory of the season. Are you suggesting that they might return points at the Etihad?
I'm not sure I am. As we know, Wolves have had a very slow start to the season, partly because of their commitments in the Europa League, it would appear. Some surprising results, that 5-2 defeat at home to Chelsea being one. But as you say, got their first win of the season last time out and a clean sheet with it at home to Watford. And one of the things we saw in that game was the return to form of Matt Doherty, who was a very reliable fantasy pick last season, playing as a right wing back in quite an attacking team. He got 15 points last time out. He got an assist in the defeat at Chelsea, despite only playing for the last half an hour or so. So he looks like he's coming into form. City defensively have only kept three clean sheets this season, which is much worse than last season. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that Wolves could nick a goal.
Right.
And Doherty is I think, as good a punt as any.
Okay.
But yeah, I wouldn't be advising anyone to pick a Wolves player for this week.
Wolves are away at Besiktas on Thursday night. As a rule of thumb, is it good policy just to not pick players who have Thursday night Europa League action?
I think potentially, but you run the risk of missing out on players like Aubameyang, for example, at Arsenal, who's playing in the Europa League this year. So it's just something to be aware of. But there are certain players in certain clubs, Doherty, I think, is one of them, who you're likely to see them play week on week.
The flip side to that as well is that the Europa League gives clubs a chance to play players they might not normally play. And if they do well, they can then force themselves into contention. So we've seen Saka at Arsenal had a really good game in the Europa League. And lo and behold, he starts against Manchester United last Monday.
I see. On the subject of Aubameyang, Arsenal taking on Bournemouth this weekend. So there's a couple of good striker options there, maybe more. Certainly Aubameyang and Callum Wilson is only 7.9 still and is returning relentlessly. Is it time, though, that we start to consider Aubameyang among the must-have individuals?
I think so. Callum Wilson and Aubameyang, both of them amongst only three players to have returned in every game week so far this season, the other one being Aguero, who even when benched came on for an assist. I think those two are, and particularly Aubameyang, I think he's been overlooked because Arsenal have looked wobbly. They've not looked as good defensively. And as a result of that, I think a lot of fantasy owners kind of take a step back from Arsenal and go, oh, I'm not sure. But with Lacazette's injury, Aubameyang has really excelled over the first seven game weeks of the season. And for me, he is one that really should not be overlooked.
OK, he's 11 million. Aguero, you mentioned there, 12.2. There's not that much difference in terms of the points they've returned so far this season. With the rotation risk at Man City, does Aubameyang actually make more sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, totally agree.
Right. Yeah, we're going on with that.
Interesting. What's your game you're picking out for us this week, Sam?
I quite fancy looking at Norwich and Villa this week. Both really interesting teams, starting with the home team. Obviously, Norwich are a bit Jekyll and Hyde so far this season. When they play at home, they look outstanding. When they play away from home, they often look dreadful. Pookie, yet to blank at home so far this season. And if he scores, he could become only the fifth player in Premier League history to score in his first four home games in the competition. I actually really fancy him as a bit of a cheeky captain punt this week. Yeah, he's one of the most transferred out players ahead of game week 8, but I expect that to be kind of turned around at the end of game week 8 because they've played away from home for the last two game weeks. They're back at Carrow Road this week and I suspect he'll do really well. Alongside that then, Cantwell, he's been particularly prolific at home as well so far this season. The last three games at Carrow Road, he's scored 10, 7 and 6, got two assists and two goals. Looks really, really promising when he's at home. Obviously, away form is a little bit different, but for the purpose of this week, he looks great.
And what about Villa's prospects? Because Norwich, with all their absences, particularly between the sticks, where they're now down to their third choice keeper, does that mean we should be piling on the likes of Wesley and Grealish and above all, John McGinn?
Yeah, John McGinn, my golden boy for FPL so far this season. He looks absolutely phenomenal. In the last two game weeks, he's got a goal and a bonus point in 7 and a goal and 3 bonus points in game week 6. He's had 21 shots on goal, which is more than any other Villa player. Created 11 chances, which only Sterling can beat so far this season. So he is up there with the big, expensive players of FPL. I really, really rate him. And for me, playing against a Norwich defence, which have not looked great, and a Norwich third-choice keeper, he's an absolute no-brainer for this week.
Yeah, I agree. He's been brilliant for me. He's been the same, essentially. But he obviously, most of his shots come from long range, and Norwich do look a bit susceptible to that. And as we've talked about, you know, third-choice goalkeeper facing a John McGinn rasper, points incoming.
Well, speaking of long range, after this, let's have a little look forward at fixtures beyond Game Week 8. The long view, which this week flags up the fact that we got an international break after game week 8, and also the fact that we got some new clubs with nice looking runs of games: Arsenal, Man United, and Leicester. Leicester, who after their trip to Anfield this weekend, have 8 of their next 9 fixtures flagged up as green on the Premier League's fixture difficulty rating calendar, which they do update. So if you haven't downloaded it for a while. Then make sure you do that. Leicester then, we've talked about some of their options with the clash coming up at Anfield, but what about Arsenal and Man United? Is there anyone from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's squad that you'd be tempted by, Tom?
Not for me, no. I think they look shaky at the back, they look unconvincing up front, they're missing players. Rashford and Martial have been sidelined. Daniel James started the season well and has since gone off the boil a bit, I think inevitably, given the fact he's a young player at a new club. And personally, I don't see... And Paul Pogba as well being injured, so I don't see any value there personally.
Okay. We talked about Aubameyang. Any other Arsenal options?
I've had Danny Ceballos for most of the season because he had a really good game against Burnley at home quite early on. I kind of feel like he could do a similar sort of performance against Bournemouth given the chance. So
maybe.
Yeah, but as Sam was saying, Aubameyang is the beacon that shines.
Bournemouth at home, Sheffield United away, Crystal Palace and Wolves at home, Leicester away and then Southampton at home. They are appetising fixtures. Are you making room for some Gunners in your life?
Oh, I'd have to take out Kane.
For Aubameyang.
It's the only way I could do it. I don't know. I've got to think on that one. It would pain me to lose Kane for Aubameyang, but it feels like it might happen at some stage, yeah.
All right. Elsewhere, Chelsea options still look good. The team is performing well. Another victory midweek and decent fixtures as well for Frank Lampard's side. We've talked about Tammy Abraham, Mason Mount, Callum Hudson-Odoi coming into the picture now. And Tomori, a really good shout. I think we're going to be speaking about him a little bit later on when we look at differentials. Up next then, let's answer some of your questions. Listener, many thanks if you sent in a question on Twitter with the hashtag FPLPod. We were wondering who your defender dilemmas are. Magda El-Husseini says it's stupid to invest in the defence. Midfield and attack is the best place to invest this season. Now you tell me, Magdi, Is Magdy right?
I tend to agree, actually. Yeah. I think in the past, it's always been about, particularly last season, it was about the expensive heavy-hitting defenders. This year, for me, I think it's one big heavy-hitting defender and four little ones.
OK, so are you looking at a Liverpool heavy-hitting defender?
Absolutely, yeah. So for me, it's Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Or possibly Robertson.
Or maybe Robertson, one or the other, and then four smaller ones. At the moment, I still have Otamendi, but I'm not convinced that I'm going to keep him longer term. When there's people like Soyuncu at Leicester, Tomori at Chelsea, Lundstrom, of course.
But this is a big change, because at the start of this season, we were all loading up with high-value defenders.
Yeah, I started off, I think I had Laporte from City and I had both Liverpool fullbacks, but Liverpool have been so porous defensively that I'm now, similar to Sam, down to Trent Alexander-Arnold as my one big defender. I haven't got any City defenders in and I've got four littlies. Because I think there's a lot of good value sort of in the kind of 4.7, 4.6 price range and below. And obviously once you stock up on cheaper defenders, you've got more money to splash elsewhere.
Nice. Well, Selassie asks, fixture-wise, who are some of the good budget defenders below 5 million for the next couple of game weeks?
Well, we've mentioned Fikayo Tomori, who's come into the Chelsea team. He started the last four league games. Frank Lampard
scored a goal.
Scored a goal at Wolves, got an assist midweek in the Champions League. And I think if Chelsea are going to play with that back three, and he's one of the sort of wide centre-backs, he is going to get forward a bit more than if he was playing in the middle of a back four. Clearly, there's a big worry with Chelsea that they let too many goals in. We saw that in midweek in the Champions League. They are vulnerable at set pieces. But I think for a guaranteed starter in a big six club at 4.6 million, I think it's a bit of a no-brainer.
Very nice. There's another player who you're hesitant about revealing the name of, Tom.
Yeah, I brought Diego Rico in a couple of weeks ago, the Bournemouth left-back who's come into the team benefiting from the absence of Charlie Daniels. Lovely left foot, takes a lot of the set pieces. Bournemouth are a team who pose quite a strong aerial threat. They're not a great team defensively, but I think if you've got a player whose delivery is that good, who's starting regularly, who takes set pieces and who only costs 4.1 million, right. I think it's a decent punt.
Even if he doesn't play, he's a really valuable player to have in your squad. Lundstrom's been the kind of the forerunner in terms of budget defenders overperforming. Any other fresh names, Duncan?
Well, one that could happen, actually, if Mendy is back fit at City, Zinchenko is actually obviously a midfielder. And if they continue to have issues in midfield, then he could slot in there and pick up some points, I think, in the same way that Lundstrom does. One guy that's been good for me on and off is Lewis Dunk. Tends to kind of put in heroic away performances. You know, if Brighton keep a clean sheet away from home, which they did at Watford, and he got some good points away at Newcastle in that 0-0, you know, he's an option as well.
Diop had been one of the brighter performers for West Ham. The injury to Fabianski, though, is a bit of a concern.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Diop, and before the injury to Fabianski last week, he'd kept three clean sheets and had got bonus points, was looking absolutely great for me, although I had benched him for most of those weeks, annoyingly. However, with the injury to Fabianski, I am genuinely concerned that the West Ham clean sheets will dry up.
And how do you feel about the rest of the West Ham team further forward, midfield attack?
I don't think that Fabianski not being there will affect the likes of Yarmolenko, Lanzini, Felipe Anderson too much. The best form of defence is attack. I see that those guys will just keep going. But in terms of Diop and the other actual, you know, defensive players at West Ham, I think I'm probably going to be looking to switch them out for a Leicester player ahead of their lovely fixtures from game week 9.
Oh, all right then. One final question for now from Abdur, who wants to know, is it a good idea to start Kieran Tierney for this weekend's game at home to Bournemouth?
I wouldn't. Even if he does play, I think he might take a little while to bed in. So,
to watch for the future, though.
I mean, Bournemouth are a very kind of wing-heavy team as well, so he's going to possibly be busy defending.
I think once Tierney and Bellerin come in, we should see a slightly different side to Arsenal, certainly in terms of attacking fullback. So I think he and Bellerin are what I want to keep an eye on. But yeah, as Duncan says, perhaps a bit too soon to be betting the house on them.
All right. Well, next up, it's essential differential as we look at some unexpected performers who might return big this weekend. Essential differentials, then, low ownership, hopefully high returns. Which little gem, which hidden secret of the fancy Premier League would you like to flag up this week, Duncan?
I'm going to go for Danny Ings at Southampton.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the mini Vardy in the sense that he's got a really good record against Big Six teams. Five of his last six Premier League goals have come against the Big Six. He racked up six at home to Liverpool. He got 9 against Tottenham last time out. So he's got obviously got Chelsea this weekend. So I think, although Southampton do seem to have a weird problem with actually converting good chances, if anyone is going to do it, I think Danny Ings is a good shout.
Wow, and his ownership is so, so low. Only 1.6% of managers worldwide have the 5.9 million Danny Ings. Ooh, figure that's bound to rise after that enthusiastic endorsement.
Ings can only get better.
So nicely done, Duncan. Sam, who do you reckon?
I'm going to go maybe less out there and go with Mahrez. I think the way...
But didn't you say about investing in Man City and the rotation thing?
I did. And I think if you aren't one of those people that owns KDB, then Mahrez is looking like being a good option. He's likely to play whilst KDB is injured. Only 4.5% ownership. He has had 9 shots on target in the last 4 game weeks, which only Tammy Abraham at Chelsea can beat. He's looked really, really good. 25 points in the last 2 weeks alone. So for me, he is definitely one to watch this weekend.
And Tom, who's your choice?
Andriy Yarmolenko is floating right. My boat this week. Only 6 million. Only 3.6% ownership, and he's in fantastic form. 20 points over the last 2 game weeks. He got a goal and some bonus points in the 2-0 win over Man United. Another goal and some more bonus points in the 2-2 draw at Bournemouth last time out. Looks back to his best after that long spell on the sidelines. And West Ham have got a decent run of fixtures. Home to Palace, away at Everton, home to Sheffield United, home to Newcastle and away at Burnley. And we were discussing potential alternative captains given the mixed form of some of the big hitters. And Yarmolenko, I think, is someone who possibly comes into that conversation.
Well, that's interesting, Tom. Did you have Yarmolenko in already, or are you going to bring him in for this week?
I brought him in for this week as right. part of a double change.
What was the other change?
So I've got rid of Luca Dean, who has scored 3 points in the last 3 game weeks, I think.
Right. Another of those high-value defenders we should be getting rid of.
Exactly. Replaced him with Fikayo Tomori, who we've already spoken about, and I brought in Yarmolenko for Leander Dendonka, who was only ever a facilitator.
We'll talk about your captain's armband a little bit later on then. Duncan, what have you got up your sleeve for this week?
Nothing up my sleeve, right. apart from my arm. I've got one chance, so I'm going to save that for next week and do a double change right. in the international break. Thinking about wildcard as well, I think I'm going to save that for December when we've got the double game week.
A little bit
early
smug.
On. Okay. So yeah, just right. I mean, I'm in the top 25,000, James. I can afford to just, you know, observe.
Let it ride. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And Sam, your team's so very not broken right now. So what are you going to do? Nothing?
No, it's not broken apart from KDB's groin. So I was planning to, like Duncan, roll my transfer for international break. But I am a little bit... I just worry about not having KDB because he is my big hitter in the middle. I might take Cantwell out and replace him with Callum Hudson-Odoi. I really fancy him to do well over the next few game weeks, and I want to be on him before he takes a price rise.
Okay, who gets the captain's armband then, Sam?
Well, yet again, it was on KDB. It's now kind of in flux at the moment, and it keeps moving between Harry Kane, who I really do fancy to return big this weekend.
And just generally.
Or I might put it on the most transferred out, or pretty much thereabouts, Pukki this
really?
Week. Yeah, I do fancy Norwich to score well against Villa at home. Fancy Villa to score too, but I think Pukki will do well.
OK, there is a broader question here. It's been really difficult to nail a captain's decision. We saw 2 weeks ago when Sterling was the most captained player and didn't start or even come on for Man City. He's, I think, had 1 goal in the last 4 game weeks. Same for Mo Salah, who's another really popular pick for the armband. I had Aguero last week. He came on late, did get the assist, but not exactly what we were hoping for. Is it now time to stop going with the old favourites like Kane, Salah, Aguero, Sterling, and go for people like Pukki or Yarmolenko or any of these kind of options? What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's become a bit of an extra string to people's bows, really, you know, picking that kind of random player each week that's going to do well. I mean, I'll often click on the highest scoring team of the week and see someone as like triple captained, you know, someone completely random. And you're like, well, they're either very clever or, you know, very lucky. I mean, I'm thinking Firmino, I just fancy him to, you know, presumably the Leicester-Liverpool game will be quite tight. You know, you're going to need Firmino to sort of thread some stuff through. But Kane, again, is he did it for me last week. So it's one of those two.
Oh, right. So, yeah, you are actually going with good old Harry. possibly.
Probably. 80% Kane, 20% Firmino.
Right. And Tom, all your bold words about Yarmolenko, are you going to back those up Saturday morning, 11:30?
Well, we shall see. Sterling has the armband for now. Mm. And I think if not him, then yeah, possibly Pukki, possibly Yarmolenko. I like the idea of doing something a bit left field this week. Just because, as you say, the big hitters haven't always been reliable sources of points.
Plus, you've got nothing to lose as well. You know, where are you?
No, James, as I told you, I'm surging. I've got the wind in my sails, if not my hair.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well, 11:30 on Saturday morning, UK time is the deadline, an hour before Brighton take on Spurs. Don't forget, too, that you can join us in our mini league by going to the Fantasy Premier League website, and the code you need is 6QP8QK. Send us in questions via Twitter with the hashtag FPL pod, and also look out for the FPL show on the FPL website and on the FPL YouTube channel, FPL FYI. And there's a big article, as I mentioned last week and the week before, on the FPL website, giving you links to all of that good stuff. Best of luck, Sam, Tom, and Duncan, and you, listener, for game week 8. Hope it all goes well for you. We'll be back here next week and we'll be looking back on game week 8 and taking stock as well a little bit of the first couple of months of this season in order to really build some proper sides as winter draws in. Hopefully you'll be joining us for that. For now though, from all of us here, it's goodbye.